What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Sava FC. As always, I'm Antonio, and I'm here with Ben and Anthony. What's going on, guys?
Same old. How about you?
Same old.
How you doing, Ben?
I'm all good. Yeah. You too? Look like you've had a busy weekend.
Yeah, I'm recovering, Ben. I mean, I just got back from California, so still working on that three-hour time difference. But I was at the Super Bowl. Man, what an event it was.
And how was that? Yeah.
I mean, listen, the Super Bowl was unbelievable. It was awesome to see, watch, especially LA being a home team on their own field. But the whole time, I just kept thinking, imagine a World Cup final being played here instead. That's all I could think of.
That would be awesome. A SoFi Stadium would be incredible, right?
I mean, SoFi is huge. It's state of the art. They have that round screen all the way around the stadium.
I believe it's the world's largest continuous LED screen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So the thing was unbelievable. And the one thing that, and don't get me wrong, SoFi was loud, but I've been to soccer stadiums with 30,000 fans that were louder than what SoFi was for the Super Bowl.
I believe it.
Oh, I can imagine, yes.
So, I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was great, good time, awesome experience, but I would love to see a World Cup final play.
It's a possibility.
Right.
It is.
We get
coming
one
up soon, isn't it?
Right, yeah. 2026, I believe, we get the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully whoever's planning that, remember about SoFi.
So while you were gone, a lot of things happened. We could start at the Premier League. We can start at Serie A.
I would love to start with Premier League.
Let's start with Premier
League. Listen, either way, I'm telling you guys now, you're going to have to fill me in because I'm going to be honest. I only watched the first half of the Napoli game, so I'm a little bit out of the loop this weekend.
Okay, so I think we should start about Tottenham.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
Tottenham. Because we've got your guy in charge, Antonio Conte.
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't say he's our guy.
No.
But, you know, Italian guy.
Everyone says
he's like the next special one and everything else. Last two games, they've lost both games.
Yeah, and this weekend they lost 2-0 to the Wolves.
2-0 to Wolves.
And it wasn't just a loss. They were dominated for the full 90 minutes.
Could have been 5 or 6.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable. And then previous to that was Southampton. They lost 3-2.
Right. And Conte's on record saying that he's thriving on the stress in the Premier League and he's not here for biscuits and tea. I think he's got to watch, you know, how he says what he says.
Who's he taking that dig, though? Who's he taking that dig at?
I don't know. Maybe he's trying to let everybody know that, you know, he's not there to be on vacation.
See, the way my mind works, though, he took a dig at Manchester City by saying that. Because think about how far ahead they are in the table and have been before. And obviously, one of the things that everybody always discusses is Manchester City has spent so much money that it should be easy for them to win the league, right?
Yep.
So is he taking a dig at Pep Guardiola saying like, hey, I'm not here to drink tea and eat biscuits like you are?
Could be.
That's how I look at it. I could be wrong, but
sure, you know. But I don't feel he's as good as everyone was saying.
Conte?
Yeah. He didn't make many changes when everything was against him. He just seems to let it ride. You see him when you win. He's running up and down. When you lose, he just stands it. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't change anything.
Right, doesn't change anything.
So I said this about Conte a few weeks ago. And I think the thing with Conte is that he never sticks around when it gets hard. Even though he's saying he doesn't like to sip the tea and eat biscuits, when he's won, that's usually been the case. He's had the teams built for him, right?
Yes, yeah.
He's had the world-class players. And then he sits back and he reaps the benefits of it. He just did it last year with Inter Milan. Inter Milan had arguably the best team in Italy that we had seen in a while.
Right.
Yep.
He leaves. Why did he leave? He left because Lukaku left. Hakimi left, right?
Yep.
There were talks about of them not bringing in any more players because financially they didn't know if they'd be able to. So Conte started this project and now just up and left. And what happened? Inzaghi came in. And he's doing just as good of a job, if not better, with lesser players than what Conte had available.
So, which makes him better because he has lesser players to do what they're.
I put lesser players in quotations because, yes, even though you're using a 36-year-old Dzeko, he's still a good player.
Right.
But he doesn't have the tools that Conte had this year.
Correct. But hey, watching this year, I'd still take Dzeko over Lukaku. Just saying.
Absolutely.
That's a brave statement.
Just for this year.
Just for this year.
Yeah,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
If I'm building a team from scratch, I'm taking Lukaku. But for this year, Dzeko's been playing really well.
Lights out. Yeah.
You know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
And, you know, since we're talking about teams that are losing, we can talk about Man United.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say Arsenal.
No, they're not losing. They've been winning. They've been winning.
No, no.
Sorry, I had to take the dig. They actually haven't really been playing Arsenal.
We've had the best weekend ever without playing. Right. Wales is losing. That's right. We're just staying there. We're getting more and more games.
Right, right.
I don't even know if Manu got any games left for the season, the way they're playing.
Yeah, they blew a lead against Southampton. They were winning 1-0. Southampton came back, tied it up. Ben made a good point before. We can't put all the blame on Ronaldo. But who gets the blame?
At the moment, the blame is going to the manager. And the big thing in the press that we were talking about before is the assistant manager.
Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso. That's what I'm saying. Ted Lasso. Can you give me some background on him?
All right. So, for everybody listening, some of you probably do watch Ted Lasso. Some of you haven't.
Great show.
Amazing show. I love it. Ben, I recommend you watch it on, was it on Apple TV?
Yeah.
So, Ted Lasso is this Apple TV show about an American football coach, okay, who gets hired to coach, what was the name of the team?
AFC Richmond.
He gets hired to go overseas and coach AFC in Richmond, a premier soccer team.
Oh, okay.
But obviously we know
what
soccer called in England?
Football.
Right. So he goes over there having no experience with soccer, and he starts coaching. And his goal is to save AFC Richmond and not get relegated. So it sets up this whole comical storyline. Really good show. I recommend everybody watching it.
But there's also the backstory. The owner of AFC Richmond is just newly divorced, and her ex-husband is who owned the club. That was his pride and joy.
Yeah, 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 but we're not trying to give away the show.
Right,
We want people to watch it. So let's just stick to where Ted Lasso's at, his knowledge. So with Ted Lasso's knowledge, he's basically, you know, trying to do as best as he can to coach a team that he has no idea or no knowledge about. Coach a sport, I'm sorry. Well, Manchester United, their assistant coach, Chris Armas,
right?
Who... Listen, he played for the Revolution, so he's got experience in the MLS. He played with the men's national team, U.S. men's national team. He's won 2 Gold Cups with them. So the guy was a good player. He has good knowledge of the game. But he got hired to be Manchester United's assistant coach while only having coached Toronto FC in the MLS. And I think he won 2 games. That was it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's massive.
Right. That's on a coaching resume, that doesn't look so hot.
Yeah.
So the players at camp started calling him Ted Lasso.
Right, right.
Chris Armas is their Ted Lasso. And, you know, the media ran with it because the show took off and they found this funny. But you were telling me earlier, Ben, Gary Neville's actually upset at this nickname, right?
Yeah, he's really upset because he's saying about players going to the press and everything else, leaking everything. Shouldn't be leaking anything to the press.
No, not
everything should be kept in-house, which is not happening there. And he even said he knows who the players are.
Wow.
But he's not going to name them at the moment, but he may name them later on. If it keeps continuing.
Well, listen, not to give away the show, but if Chris Armas ends up being even a half of what Ted Lasso is, Manchester United's in good hands. That's all I got to say.
Right.
Well, we're hoping they're not in good hands.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, if it's anything like the show, Ronaldo's going to have to go, right?
That's right. That's right.
That would be fun. All right, so we talked about 5th, 6th, 7th, yeah? What about the bottom of the league in the Premiership?
Bottom of the league. I think right now I can hear it.
Can you hear him?
I hear as you walk into Newcastle's compound, they're playing the Jeffersons theme song, Moving On Up.
Moving On Up.
They've been on a roll.
They've won. Their last 3 games they've won.
We called it, 3, 4 weeks ago? They needed 5 players.
Just to clarify, though, you guys called it. I said they were going to get relegated.
Right.
So
I was hoping they would get rid of it.
Right.
But they've moved up,
But they got the 5 players. One of them now is out for the season.
Trippier's out for the season.
But they're playing well.
It's huge, though, that Trippier's hurt, because didn't he just score for them the last game?
Yeah, last 2 games.
Last 2 games.
Last 2 games,
So the fact that he's hurt is going to be huge. Let's see if Newcastle can adapt.
Because he's been doing all the corners, all the free kick, everything. Right. Everything's been going for him. Yeah, so it's going to be...
I mean, look, they are still 1 game behind Norwich, I believe. So being that 1 game behind Norwich and being above them in the table is good.
1 game behind, I think, 4 points ahead, correct?
Yeah, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
There is a long way to go, but I think they've set themselves up in a good place right now to where they can at least battle to stay up in in the Premier League.
I mean, from now I would say they would stay up.
Right.
There's always twists and turns and whatever else.
Hey, like you said, I was convinced Watford is going to go down and you said you never know what could happen. So, we'll see.
We'll have to see.
A lot of football left.
And Liverpool is starting to chew away at that
lead. They're churning Liverpool, aren't they?
Yeah.
They won again at the weekend.
Yeah.
They won 1-0.
All they needed was to have those two guys back.
Yep. And they got Diaz as well.
Yep. So.
Did Salah and Mane both play?
Believe so.
Yeah, okay. They were back, yeah.
I was just curious.
The bench below.
Because a lot of teams after the
they'll rest them.
Right. They've been resting a few players. Like, I know Napoli had to use Koulibaly out of desperation.
Right.
But I didn't know how they were doing
I'm not
Premier.
Sure if they came off the bench, but I know they...
Okay.
Then good news coming out of the Premier League with Christian Eriksen. He's feeling 100%. He's ready to go. Manager's going to hold off on giving a date of when he's going to start.
Didn't he play in a friendly?
I'm not sure if he did or not.
I think he did today, maybe yesterday.
Because Thomas Frank said that he wouldn't give a date yet for him to come back. But everyone is bubbling over there. They're excited for him.
I'm just hoping he skips their next game, which is Arsenal.
right.
And then they can move forward from there.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna be playing maybe 2-3 weeks.
2-3 weeks. Yeah. To get up to scratch.
Here's what I'm gonna say.
He's got a long way to catch up to that speed. So
yeah, it's gonna.
Here's what I'm gonna say. Even if Christian Eriksen does play against Arsenal, what is he really gonna bring to? Can he still do what he's done in the past? I don't think it's gonna be the same.
I don't think
it's not. But I think it's what Anthony said.
Yeah, I don't think it's a skill thing. I think it's a morale. That's what it is.
Brings them up,
don't
they?
Yeah.
They give him that jump and everything else. We don't need that.
No.
No.
So. Hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll get to see him and he does well and he proves to everybody his goal is to prove to everybody that he can play with this device at the top level and be successful.
Yeah, and he was saying like he's in the best condition now.
Yeah.
Plus if there's anything, it tells you something.
Right, yeah. Right, which is amazing.
Well, you'd imagine, you know, after having that happen to you, he's taking care of his body more. Not that he didn't before.
And he's probably getting tested every...
Oh, sure.
Every times a week, you know? So
yeah.
Doctors and, you know, the team staff, I'm sure they're
on
top of it.
We're also in that age where that machine actually reports back right to his cell phone. And he gets information right away. So, you know.
Listen, man, I hope to see him make a comeback and play at the top level. I understand why he can't play in some leagues, just because it's a liability, but if he can get past it and continue on with his career, Eriksen deserves it. I still think that Eriksen had a chance at the Euro Cup, had he not.
But
he was so good, when he carried that team.
Oh, yeah, but even but what
he
the team
even
did without him.
Carried the team without him.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they were good,
yeah.
But with him in there,
they were exceptional.
Yeah. X factor,
right.
I think he wants to make the World Cup. Then,
yeah,
that's his plan for the year.
Hopefully. I know a lot of people wanting to make the World Cup.
Yeah, we won't find out till next month.
Can we mention the game that's going on at the moment?
Yeah, why not?
It's Man United 0, Brighton's 0. Or 0-0, as we'd like to call it.
Where is Brighton on the table?
They're about 10th or 9th.
So a team like Man United, they should, you know, handle business against a team like Brighton, correct?
At home, yes.
Yeah.
But not really.
To be fair, Brighton are a very good team this
year.
Like, they don't lose many games, don't win many games.
But they don't lose them either.
Yeah, I think they've drawn 12 games.
I'll give you credit. You've said from the get-go that Brighton is a good team.
Yeah.
And listen, there's less than a 10-point difference between Man United and Brighton. That's not that big of a gap, especially in the Premier League. They've played 24 games. They have, 7 wins? 13 ties and 4 losses.
Yeah,
right.
4 losses in the Premier League? That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
That is, yeah.
But to my point, Man United is supposed to be this.
Oh, Man United should be the
powerhouse,
in the world,
right? They have the, you know, the second greatest player in the world playing. And they, you know.
Who's the greatest player?
Maybe Messi.
See, you're with me on this. Like, it's Ronaldo. Ronaldo's the best.
I'll go with Ronaldo.
Why?
He lights you up, excitement, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
The Ronaldo's the guy, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's Messi done?
I said it before.
The last few years.
There was something about Ronaldo that always irked me the wrong way, so that's maybe why I lean towards Messi, you know.
But Ronaldo is supposed to irk. That's the thing. You're not supposed to like him.
Right.
Ronaldo's the guy that did all of this through hard work, right? Proving to be the best at wanting to be the best. Like, everything he's done is all the work he puts into it. Now, Messi, don't get me wrong, also one of the best players in the world. But I think you guys could agree, it's more natural talent with Messi than it is about the hard work. Not saying he doesn't work hard.
Right.
But it's just Ronaldo elevates his game to a whole other level.
The thing I like about Ronaldo is he's played at different clubs.
Right.
Right.
Messi, don't get me wrong, excellent. But
he
played a great team as well, didn't he, for many years.
Right, and I know now he's struggling at PSG, and I think it's because he went from playing for Barcelona where they depended on him to now he's just a cog in the wheel and he still needs to get used to that.
Problem is, as you get older, you need runners with you.
Right. Yes.
And PSG probably don't have people wanting to do the work for
right.
you.
Well, I mean, there was an issue during one of the Champions League game where they said you can't win with seven defenders. You know, because they're not dropping back and not running. So, all right. Well, I'll circle back around to this at the end of the season.
It's a good conversation that's going to go on for many years.
Yeah, this conversation listen, it's the whole conversation between Maradona and Pelé. We're going to have that for years to come between Messi and Ronaldo.
Well, I don't know. That's a tough one, right? Because Pelé was a different generation than Maradona. So I always dislike Maradona for what happened in World Cup 90. But I have to say that he goes down as probably the best. If he played on pitch like this, the way he dribbled the ball, nobody'd be able to stop.
Yeah. He carried teams, didn't he?
Forget him. We had him playing in Napoli on dirt and gravel.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that gets me. I know he won the Copa America.
Yep.
But at the World Cups.
Right.
And he's been in his prime.
Yeah. Are you talking about Messi?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's because maybe they say, oh, we have Messi. Let's just give him the ball. Yeah.
So the other thing, though, if you're going to say the World Cup, Ronaldo, I mean, he hasn't really achieved much with Portugal on the World Cup stage. They've won a Euro Cup, don't get me wrong, which I still hold the Euro Cup at higher standards.
Sure, for sure, for sure.
A lot of people say that's harder to win than the World
Cup. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I could see that, but Ronaldo, when he won the Euro Cup, he also didn't have the supporting cast that Messi has had at Argentina for the last 10 years. Okay. You know? And put it this way, Messi felt like he was such a problem on that Argentina team that he retired from the national team at one point to come back.
Yeah, right.
So,
it's a tough one.
It is. We'll have to dedicate a whole hour.
Yes.
Yeah, to we these really could two. Go on we this forever.
Could go on and on.
So, back to the Prem, the table isn't as tight as people would like it to be.
You mean the top?
The top. You know, you have Man City at 63 points. Liverpool's at 54.
With a game behind.
A game behind.
Right. Chelsea's at 47. West Ham's 41. Man United 40. Arsenal 39.
Arsenal can you just go through the table, please?
Yeah, I was just saying. Right now, with the game that's being played, Manchester United's at 41, technically, because they are at a tie. And they are at 25
games. Here goes Ronaldo proving me wrong.
Did Ronaldo just score?
He just scored.
Ronaldo just scored. So that now means that Manchester United's at 43, which bumps them back up to fourth in the table.
Right. And Arsenal also has to make up two games.
They are at 25 games, Manchester United. So you have Liverpool and Chelsea that have to make up
one game, yeah.
Right.
What a goal.
This gap between Liverpool and Man City could actually become much smaller because if Liverpool wins their makeup game, they're at 57, Man City at 63, and then even Chelsea. Chelsea could end up being at 50, although they're playing Ben's Arsenal, so I would hope that they lose.
So in Ben's
world, they're staying at 47.
Right.
And even though Man U have just scored, I bet it ends up a draw.
It's a possibility.
I'm going with it.
I'll take your word for it. You've been good at calling these games, so
they always score, Brian.
Right.
But
how many ties did you say they had?
13.
Yeah.
But so this comes back now. Ronaldo just scored. What we were saying about Ronaldo and Messi. Ronaldo is still that guy that can carry a team to a win. And that's what it comes down to.
Right.
I still don't think at this age he should be the top priority in a team. What just happened?
Foul.
Oh, wow.
Is it sending off?
Honest to God, it should have been a red card.
To who?
Somebody from Brighton.
No. Actually.
I know what you're saying.
First of all, it's the Premier League. They don't give out red cards like that. So that's only for us.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true.
Really?
You didn't see what happened to Martinelli this past weekend.
Okay, so enlighten me. What happened?
Martinelli,
he thinks he gets brought down, but he doesn't.
Okay.
Ball goes out for a throw-in. The guy goes to take it, has to push him. Misses him, or touches him a little bit, misses him. Runs after the guy's throwing it, brings him down. Okay. The ref stops it, gives him a yellow card for push the guy over for the throw. Okay. And a yellow card for the foul. So he sends him up.
Is that legal?
Never been seen before. Is legal.
It is legal.
It's legal.
But it's never been seen. Ever. All
in six. Ever. All in 6 seconds.
6 seconds.
I feel like that should almost just be a straight yellow card saying you're on a very short leash.
If you sneeze on somebody, you're going to get a red card. Right. That's the way it should have been. Let's be honest. He should have just said yellow.
He's on a yellow, does he?
So don't do anything. You know, like you said, don't sneeze
on anybody. And what gets me, though, in another instance, say you get someone dribbling through, right? Someone else will try and bring him down, then someone else brings him down. They normally come back to the first one and say, oh, that's a yellow card, and forget the next bit.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I've never seen almost two like people booked
right.
in the same
overturning moment. The first foul or second foul. Right,
right, right, right.
Have you ever seen it?
No. No.
I can't think that I ever have. No. That's actually interesting.
So that's right. my fault. Isn't it,
so at the same time, Champions League's also going on.
What's the score there?
The score. I don't have the score for Champions League right now.
So how about this? Why don't we go on a break, and when we come back, we'll get you the score of the Champions League game going on right now.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. All right, and we're back. So, update, 15th of February, PSG Real Madrid, 70th minute, still 0-0. And then you got Sporting versus Man City. Man City's killing them 5-0.
5-0.
So there's your Champions League scores for the day.
And then tomorrow we got some more games.
Yeah, so tomorrow you got Bayern versus Salzburg, I believe. And then you have Inter versus Liverpool. And I think that's it.
That's it. But I do want to touch a little bit on the Inter-Liverpool game. I think that's going to be the most exciting game out of the group that we're going to watch these next 2 days.
Predictions?
Let's do it.
I mean, look, before we make predictions, I just have to say, Klopp did his usual, let me praise the opposing team and, you know, blow butterflies and kisses towards them, and then he goes out and demolishes them. And I've seen Klopp do this against other teams before in the Champions League.
Perfect psychology.
It's perfect psychology. He literally talks about how great they are, and they're one of the best teams that they're going to play all season long, and then he goes onto the field and he demolishes them. So if I feel like if Klopp had any doubt in what was going to happen this game, he wouldn't have spoken that way. So for me, 3-0 Liverpool.
Wow. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a tighter game than that. I think Inter's playing the best that they're playing. So I think they're going to come out. They're going to shock everybody. I don't think they're going to win, but I don't think they're going to lose 3-0. I'd say 2-2 tie.
I'm going to go.
Liverpool?
Yep. 4-0.
Okay.
Ben's with me on this one.
They're at home, yeah?
Tomorrow, Liverpool is at home. Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
They're a beast at home.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've seen Liverpool play AC Milan at home.
No,
it wasn't pretty.
Hold up. I messed up. Tomorrow, they're playing at the San Siro.
Oh okay.
We change. Everyone changes their two.
Nope, I'm still sticking to 3-0.
2-2. I'm staying 2-2.
I'll go 2-0. Liverpool.
All right. We'll find out tomorrow.
Look, with Klopp, you can tell from the way he speaks sometimes about how he feels going into a certain game.
Right.
When he is speaking so, from what I've noticed at least, when he is holding the team that he's opposing to such higher standards and regards and praising their coaching and this and that, he's got something in his head already that he knows he's going to take the game to them.
Right.
That's just the way that I look at it. Like you said, Inter may surprise. It's not that they're not capable of it, but after watching them play against AC Milan and watching them play against Napoli,
right. Okay,
you lose to AC Milan in the derby, and then you tie Napoli 1-1. That's not screaming, we're going to beat Liverpool
but
in the Champions League.
Here's you being a Napoli fan again. Napoli dominated the first half.
Again, I have nothing against it, but what I'm saying is Inter squad versus Napoli squad, Inter should have won. So the fact that Napoli dominated furthers my point.
No,
that they
because
don't...
the point I'm trying to make is that Napoli is that good of a team that nobody's given them a chance.
Again, though, that doesn't help Inter's case against Liverpool. If Napoli is dominating you like that, and AC Milan dominated you like that, on paper, Liverpool is held to such higher standards than
those
two.
I get it.
With the forward line.
Yeah. I know.
They really have no chance.
I'm still sticking
2-2. I said 2-0. I could even go 4-0.
Right. Yeah, we'll see tomorrow.
I still think 3-0 in the San Siro tomorrow. When they go back to Liverpool, I think Inter will squeak out one goal because Liverpool will be playing a little bit more relaxed. But I don't see Inter coming out of this.
You think it's going to be 3-0 right off the bat? 3 goals right off the bat? Or you think it's going to be little here, little there, and then explode at the end?
I don't know. Ben, help me out here. You obviously watch Liverpool more than I have. The way I feel this game is going to go is that it's going to be a struggle for probably about the first 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, normally it's 20 minutes, but they'll be pressing from everywhere.
Absolutely. But after the 20 minutes, I see Liverpool getting there first. And once they do that, it opens up the game. Because in these types of games now, Inter can no longer just sit back, especially at home, and try to defend Liverpool out of this game.
You can't.
You know,
there's no chance.
Right. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it. I'm replaying a bunch of Liverpool games in my head from the past. I got to go back on that 2-0. I don't think they have a chance. I don't think they have a chance.
I was even going to bet you, Anthony. I was going to say, this Arsenal top for that AC Milan top.
That AC Milan top.
If you got
top,
the drawer, I got the...
But, that, but you would have made an AC Milan top. That's it. Right, that's right. Just where I went.
I was going to give it for you.
Carl. I was just thinking about it. As you guys are talking, I mean, Salah's too fast for Salah, that back. He, yeah? He's too fast for that back line.
You got Martin. Right. And then you got what? Diaz coming.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And then you got Jota.
Yeah. Three nothing.
And listen, it's not even about Salah wearing down that back line. Inter is capable of, like we said, the first 20 minutes. Yeah. You're going to see equal, even play, right, to my opinion. But it's after that 20 minutes, Liverpool just wears you down, man. It's that constant pressure.
Once Liverpool scores that first goal, and I think what it was is you said Inter's going to start pressing. That's where they're going
to
get caught off
guard. They need
to get the goal, and that's where Liverpool is just going to unload on them when they catch them off guard while they're pressing. So
the only thing that can happen, which I don't foresee, is that Inter scores early, quick, within the first 5 minutes of the game, and now everything we just said goes out the window.
Right.
Because now they can sit back and defend with 10 guys.
Sure.
Hoping, just crowd the box and pray that somehow Liverpool doesn't find a way to put one in. But teams have tried that before against Liverpool. And again, it doesn't work to your advantage. No.
Liverpool can either sit back, hit you on the break, or press you up the top and get it from there.
They don't care. They adjust. And that's what I like about Klopp too. They adjust to how you're playing.
Yeah.
On the fly too. They don't need to stick to their play style. They have the players capable of adjusting however needed. So
we're talking about Inter. Might as well make a quick transition over to Serie A.
Yeah, let's cover it.
Talk about AC Milan. Rafael Leao scores the lone goal to put AC Milan on top of the table.
It's funny. So Leao was supposed to be Ronaldo's replacement, right? He was supposed to be the next big thing coming out of Portugal.
Yeah.
For years, he's been on AC Milan, and he's showed promise.
2 years.
Right.
He's just a kid.
But he's showed some promise.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this season, he's starting to come into his own, right?
Yeah.
And one of our good friends in our group chat, he goes, of course, another Portuguese now taking the league by storm. And, like, it might happen. Like, Leao does look that good.
He looks good.
That I don't know if he's going to stay at AC Milan for a long time if he continues to do what he's doing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, they have some aging strikers there. So, if they're smart, they give him some money that doesn't age and he'll stay.
Right. But, you know, AC Milan's got to be consistent, which, listen, again, it feels like whatever I say, these teams do the complete opposite. So that's just been my track record. But I said AC Milan after the break was going to fall down. As of today, February 15th, 2022, they're sitting in first place.
Right.
Granted, Inter has a game behind. Mm-hmm. Inter has a game that they have to make up. So AC Milan's at 55. If Inter wins their makeup game, they end up going to 57. So they'll be 2 points ahead of AC Milan.
Right, right.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Who's Inter playing?
For the next league game?
Is that Fiorentina, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think.
I'd have to look up the schedule. I'm not sure.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Juventus is playing Fiorentina because that's the Vlahovic redemption game.
Right. So Fiorentina has to play Juventus three times now because they made it to the Coppa Italia semifinals, which is two legs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to play one more time left in the league. So it'll be interesting to see what Vlahovic is going to do against his former team in three games.
Right. And Juventus is climbing slowly back up.
They took a halt against Atlanta this weekend.
I was going to say, what happened?
Again, I was away in California. Didn't really get a chance to watch the games fully, so I will. However, it seems to me like Juve just couldn't get their footing against Atlanta.
Right.
They did defend well because the only goal that Atalanta scored was a ripper, a rocket from outside the box.
Beautiful goal.
So Malinovsky is known for those. He's good. Juve, who was it? Danilo. Who came over to us from Manchester City, I believe, to us. I'm not a Juve fan. Have to clarify that. Who came over to Juve, okay?
You sure you know?
No, positive.
All right.
I'm a Vlahovic fan, and I'm going to leave it there.
You're only a Vlahovic fan because he's the reason why you're in first place in Fantacalcio.
No, I was a Vlahovic fan before the season even started. After watching the kid play last season on Fiorentina, it was the reason I had them projected so high this year to take at least fifth place. And then on top of it, there's something about him to me that screams your pure number nine striker. And I always love those type of players, you know? I forgot where I was getting with this. Oh, yeah, so Danilo, you know, another one who came over from the Prem. He ended up scoring the game-winning goal. But there were chances. Like, Vlahovic had scored a goal, taken away. Yeah, right. I mean, Juve could have gotten the win. They just didn't finish it.
So shame.
Yeah, listen, it's good for Napoli.
You're happy about it.
I'm happy about that, yeah.
But with Juventus, Chiellini's hurt, so that means he's not playing against Villarreal. That means Bonucci's probably going to play. Who else are they going to put back there against Villa?
I mean, you have De Ligt.
You do? So what do you do? Usually they play a 4-4-3.
I mean, it depends, man. You got to understand, they've been playing with three strikers now ever since Vlahovic joined. So they could really adapt. You play with three center backs. They could play with two center backs, two outside backs. I mean, Cuadrado is one of those players that can be dispensed as an outside back, outside winger. Yeah, like, you really, they got variety at Juventus.
Which brings me to my point, because last week Ben had asked you, how do you think Juventus fares in the Champions League? With the way they're playing now with Vlahovic, do you think they can make it far?
Possibly. Yeah, I listen, as much as we like to, not we, I will say this, most of Italy, this is how it goes. You either love Juventus or you hate Juventus. There's no in between.
Right.
So, for the people that are not Juve fans, they hate them, and they enjoy seeing Juve get knocked out of these big tournaments. However, in Italy, Juve recently has the most experience in the Champions League. They are the only team to have it made to the finals twice.
Yeah, I mean, they're good, aren't they?
Right.
They know what they're doing.
They have almost all of the same roster.
Yeah.
So the core of it is almost all the same, at least anyway. So if they find themselves in a Champions League situation where, you know, they can't concede or they need to press to score that goal to advance, they have the experience with it. They know how to handle it.
And they've got the players to hurt.
Right.
That's the difference.
So, listen, sky's the limit for them. Anything could happen.
I'm only rooting for them.
Champions League.
Villarreal?
Should be.
It'd probably be like a close.
And I'm rooting hard for them because of one person. You know who that is.
McKennie. Yeah. We all love Weston McKennie, especially being U.S. soccer fans. I want to see the guy do well, too. To your point, though, I just want to say, how they lined up against Atalanta this past weekend, it was De Ligt and Bonucci in the back with Danilo as the right back and De Sciglio as the left back.
He's been playing quite a bit lately.
Yeah, I mean, hold up. Allegri loves De Sciglio. This is a guy, he's like, how many wonders are there in the world?
Seven?
He's the eighth world wonder. Because out of nowhere, Juve signs him. Nobody understood why. He barely gets playing time. But then Allegri will use him as a jolly on the field and play him wherever he needs him, you know?
No. And, he's a utility player.
Yeah, and he tends to do well. So
He likes him. That's all there is.
Yeah.
He likes to be able to put him anywhere he wants. He'll do a job for him.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's what it is. It's a 7 out of 10 every week.
Right.
Right.
So, it works. De Sciglio's been playing really well as of late. So, look, Juve can adjust however they need. And if they do get Chiellini back for any of those Champions League matches.
That's huge.
Right.
It's going to be huge. I love him. He's such a class act. Did we talk about what he did with Gatto, right? With Gatti. We did.
Oh, yeah, in the transfer market. Yeah. How he came in and he basically just announced to everybody. He's like, oh, hey, here's my supposed replacement.
Right. Gave the kid a hug and said, oh, you're the heir to the throne. You're the heir to the throne now.
Yeah.
I thought he was taking a penalty.
So with all that good stuff, let's talk about a little bit of the bad stuff.
What bad stuff are you referring to?
Mourinho.
So, again, I missed out this weekend. What's going on?
Roma's not doing well, right? So the club likes him, but the fans are standing outside with pitchforks and torches. They want him out of there.
What's going wrong for
them? They're just not winning. They're supposed to, they should be winning, and they're not winning. You know, they've had injuries. They've struggled here and there, but you know, I think the fans talk. But in this season, I don't think the fans have a voice. It's one thing when you have sold out stadium week after week after week, and the fans are paying their money, but they've only had 5,000 fans in. Up until I think last week. Last week was the first week where
they
came back in. So if it was a regular season, if I was the owner, I'd listen to the fans to make them happy. But I think now you just got to sit back.
They're going to sit back and go through it.
And relax.
How's Mourinho been?
The way he normally is.
He's
reacting. He reacts to certain things.
Does he blame every player?
No,
yeah.
Yeah, he flipped out in the locker room and Fabio Capello thought it was, you know, it was not just. He should have never flipped out on the players. And
again, though.
That's what he does.
Mourinho came to Roma. We all knew that this, when it first happened, everybody said, how did Mourinho just take over Roma? It's not your typical Mourinho team.
Yeah.
You don't have your star-studded players, your best position players available, right? I mean, for God's sake, he starts Smalling as a center back. You remember Smalling, right?
Right.
How was he in the Premier League?
He was
not good enough to stay, Ben.
He was finished. That's why he's in Italy.
Right.
Well, you know. Well,
come on.
Let's be honest. Come on. Ashley Young went there as well for Man.
Right. Listen.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
I get it. But that's the thing. So, like, Chris Smalling, when he's your starting center back on a Mourinho led team, I already see an issue with that, okay? From the minute he came in, Mourinho said, I don't have the players that I need. And he was vocal about
right.
that. And he said that to the guys on the team. He's saying like, listen, you guys are trying your hardest, but this just isn't working.
Right.
And that was a call to management saying, go out and get me the guys that I need.
Exactly. Have they got any players?
Yes.
Yeah, they brought in Tammy Abrams.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big signing.
But so Tammy Abrams, he here's hurt. The other thing too. He's been playing hurt most of the season. So as good of a signing as he can be, all right, he's been playing hurt. And it showed because before he got hurt, the way he started the season, it looked like he was going to be unstoppable.
Yeah.
They just brought in Oliveira, the midfielder. Right. Where'd he come from? Porto, I believe?
Or yes.
I don't remember where he came over from. But they just brought in Oliveira, all right? Who's the other guy that they just brought in? England as well. Maitland-Niles.
Yeah. Right.
Right, from Arsenal, actually.
Sub.
So, Maitland-Niles just came in.
But don't forget, at the beginning of the season, when they bring in Mourinho, the headlines say, Roma is the Mourinho project. So, they knew
it's
going in, it was going to take a while.
Yeah.
Right. The fans were excited. Oh, we have Mourinho here.
But the problem is Mourinho, as soon as things go wrong, that's it.
He's gone.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I don't know if that's so much true because he's left teams after they've won championships.
Yeah, but that was before. Like since then.
Oh, since then, right. I mean, Tottenham.
Tottenham, they sacked him.
Right.
But
right.
to be fair to him, he made a final.
Right.
His second go around with Chelsea too, right? Wasn't it the same way? Second go around with Chelsea did not work out well. But that's why I think he was okay with accepting the Roma job, knowing that it would be a project. And I think it's going to take time this next offseason, now that he knows exactly what he needs, they'll be able to fix this Roma team for him. I mean, listen, he's playing with Gian at striker, okay? Yeah. Most people are going, who's that?
Right. Exactly.
So they're probably where they should be, is what you're saying.
I mean, I think so.
I think they're further up than where they should be looking at this roster. Yeah, they're sitting in seventh place, okay? And Oliveira just came in. It's not like that they had a star-studded midfield from the beginning.
So how many points are they?
I believe right now Roma has 40 points, okay? 12 wins, 4 ties, 9 losses.
So not that far from the top.
Europe, not Champions League, but
no, it won't get them into Europe yet, I believe.
No.
They have to go up to 6th.
6th.
Yeah.
6th.
Well, now we know that the rules have changed for Champions League as well, right?
What are the rules for Champions League now?
It was 36 teams, and now it's 32 teams, and you have to have a certain amount of points, which could end up...
England still gets top 4.
Yes, Italy still gets top 4 as well for Champions League.
Okay. So,
but what about Europa League?
I believe it's Italy. It's the 6th and 5th, right?
Yes, I believe 5th automatically gets into Europa, and 6th has to do a playoff.
Do the playoffs, okay.
So
he's not far off.
No, he's 2 points behind, and it's Lazio.
But it's
Lazio is a Sarri-led team. They could drop at any moment.
Here's the kicker. AC Milan has, 55 points, and they have 40.
Right.
So they're not that far. The gap is not that big like it is in the Prem. I don't think they'll ever catch up, but, you know, the fans shouldn't be going crazy knowing all the things that have happened throughout the season, is my point.
Gotcha. Well, here's the thing. How's the football? What's the level of play like?
It's tough. There's games where they look like a top team, and then there's games where they look like they don't belong in top division. So it's tough.
Yeah.
It really is.
And the more now I think about it, the fans have been spoiled for so long with Francesco Totti there that now they don't have a Francesco Totti.
Well, hold up. I mean, they haven't had Totti for the past couple of years.
But you know how fans think.
Didn't they have Dzeko in that?
Yeah, well, they just let Dzeko go because, and to me, for a team that's rebuilding, that makes sense. Why are you going to keep your old striker
on
a rebuilding team?
Right, so Dzeko ends up going to Inter, which for the time being was a perfect fit for them.
Yeah.
I agree with your Totti point to an extent.
Right.
I think it's been so many years that Totti has been removed from the Roma squad because he retired in 2016. So that's been 6 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roma in 6 years has still accomplished some good things without Totti. I think this year, though, without Champions League play, without Europa League play, crashing out of Coppa Italia and sitting at 7th in the table, this is where it's hurting the fans. Because you got to remember, without Totti, it was a few years back, they knocked Barcelona out of the Champions League. Remember that game at...
They had a good team, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when Costa Manolas was playing center back for them still. I mean, they knocked Barcelona out of the Champions League after losing, I believe it was 3-1 or 4-1 in Spain.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. And then the game went back to Rome, 3-0, sent them home packing just because of that one away goal that they scored in Spain. I think this is just too much disappointment for the Roma fans to handle in one season. It's just nothing going right for them.
But you can't be calling for Mourinho's head yet. Oh. Let him have a full season with a good roster, and then do what you got to do.
Give him a whole summer.
Listen, I agree with you guys, but we live in the day and age of football where it's no longer you have your coach, right? And you stick with him through thick and thin. We're in the world of football now. When your coach isn't getting results, you fire him and you bring on the next guy.
I get all that. But you can't just bring in a guy in the middle of the season and expect results right away. I mean, look at Conte. He came in, everybody thought he was going to... I was one to think that he was going to raise the level there. Hasn't done anything.
But here's the difference. Mourinho didn't come in at the middle of the season.
No, but you can't, what I'm saying is you can't fire him and bring in another guy and expect things to happen.
Is it worth getting rid of him then?
No, not at all. You keep him to the end of the season.
I don't think it's worth getting rid of him at all.
No, that's it. It's not like we're talking about Chris Armas here. We're talking about Jose Mourinho.
It's too expensive.
So,
I don't know, man. We'll see where Roma ends up. I really do think they're going to get it together, but it's not going to be this season.
Right.
And honestly, them not qualifying for any European play financially is going to hurt, but I think it'll be good for them because it'll give them a real chance to analyze their roster, get rid of the unnecessary depth that they have at the moment, and then reconstruct the way that they're supposed to.
And they can just construct.
I'm trying to remember. When did they bring in Mourinho? Was it like late August?
It was late August. It was right at the very end.
So it's at the end, right? So you don't... Players that are already signed in between that transfer market period, they're not looking at that, right? So now, at the end of the season, they know that Mourinho's in Rome. And they go, I can go play for this coach. I'm going to go there. Now, because he's been there, he's proven commodity.
Right.
You know, before he didn't have that luxury. So we'll see what happens.
And here's the other thing, too. Mourinho's coached at Real Madrid. He's coached at Chelsea. He's coached at Tottenham. He's coached at Man U. He has some guys that are loyal to him.
Yeah.
Not saying everybody is, but he has his guys.
And he still has a name, doesn't he?
Right.
Matter of fact, they were talking about him bringing in somebody from Tottenham in the offseason.
Son?
No, not Son.
I'd love to see him in Serie A. I'd love to see him in Serie A.
He would go off in Serie A.
Nah, look, I think Roma will fix themselves, but obviously nowhere close this season. With Serie A, I mean, basically what we're seeing is what we're getting, man. Juventus is going to be that team that makes the climb back up into the top three. I don't know whose spot they're going to take between Inter's, Milan's, and Napoli's at this point. It all depends. 10 games left, a lot could happen.
I think the top four are going to be like, you ever see the shuffle cups in New York City? That's the way it's going to be.
How many games you got left?
10.
But they're how many points behind?
So Juventus right now is about 9 points behind AC Milan. I think they're taking Napoli's spot in the top four, in the top three.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I've been saying all season long, AC Milan's going to fall, AC Milan's going to fall. It's 10 games left. AC Milan is not going to fall. AC Milan has a good chance of winning this whole damn thing.
Repeat what you just said 5 seconds ago. Juventus is going to do what?
They're going to climb into the top three and take Napoli's spot.
That's it. They're going to stay in the fourth place position.
I was going
to
say, 8 games.
He just jinxed them.
Because they're 2 games, they need 2 wins to get there. Yeah. So basically, you're playing 8 games. Yeah.
They can do it. And I mean, Juventus has also already played AC Milan. They've already played Napoli. They do have to play Inter. So by playing Inter, and if Inter continues on how they have been, anything could happen.
We're also forgetting Lazio. Lazio could sneak up too and do something. They're right behind.
I have no faith in Lazio because of Maurizio Sarri.
Right.
Listen, Sarri, it's his first season with Lazio. We knew it was going to be an adjustment. Just like Mourinho, it's just he doesn't have the name backing him. So with Sarri, this season's going to a wash. And the fans are already starting to hate him.
Yeah.
He has games, Ben, where he beats teams 4-5-0, and then he has games where he gets beat 4-5-0.
Refresh my memory.
Same thing.
I'm pretty sure I saw a picture of him blowing a snot rocket on the sidelines this weekend, right?
Oh, was yeah. So
they're like, they're really starting to, you know, hone in on.
What's a snot rocket?
You know, you hold your finger like this and.
Ben, this wasn't your typical snot rocket.
It looked like somebody took a 5-gallon bucket and dumped it out of his nose.
Is he still smoking like 50 cigarettes?
Not on the sidelines,
but he probably is. Only in Napoli can you smoke 50 cigarettes on the sidelines because over there, nobody cares. Right. I remember we'd go to the stadiums and even as fans, there's no smoking in the stadiums. No. We'd light up right there in the stadiums and nobody's going to say a word to you. So, there was funny though, there's a meme going around on the internet. I don't know if you guys ever watched Dragon Ball Z.
Oh yeah.
The old anime.
Oh yeah.
It's Sarri blowing the snack rocket. And it goes through Raditz's heart. You know, it's one of the Kamehamehas. Funny.
So.
But yeah, guys. I mean, I think that's all I got for Serie A.
Club World Championship.
FIFA World Cup Championship. Yes. That's right. Chelsea takes it.
What was the score?
I don't remember.
2-1 Who scored?
Lukaku.
Right. And was it Havertz?
Havertz. That's right. Lukaku and Havertz. Now we remember.
Did Havertz get the PK?
No. I think Lukaku scored 12 minutes in and Havertz scored later on.
Now, I remember reading an article. Maybe it wasn't about the World Cup because, once again, I didn't get to see the games. But it was something about Chelsea's captain, which is Azpilicueta, right? He was stepping up to take a PK, and everybody was like circling him from the other team and pressuring him and all of this. And about 5 to 6 minutes ended up going by. And Azpilicueta said, like, he was in a state of really not being able to take a PK after all of that, right? All the confrontation.
I wonder if that's the game.
So then,
I have to go back and look.
So Azpilicueta did the captain thing to do. And he saw Havertz was just sitting back there all by himself and like just he was calm.
Yeah, it must have been his
own. He was in his own, exactly. And so after 6 minutes of arguing with the other team and the referee and his blood pressure boiling through the roof, he takes the ball out of his hands, gives it to Havertz, and he goes, "Go take it."
Right.
And not many captains who are the PK takers will do that,
no,
you know?
No.
So
but yeah, now that adds to their trophy case. They're just collecting
just another trophy,
they're collecting them.
But there was another article that came out. I don't know if you guys saw this. Who's Chelsea's owner? Is it Abramovich?
Yes.
So Abramovich came out with an article and he said, "I didn't spend $60 million to win a Club World Cup."
No, I get it.
No, Champions League is who he was.
I get that. But that's a dig specifically at Lukaku.
No. He wants
Lukaku. Yeah, I get it. I understand where he's coming from. But at the same time, beggars can't be choosers. They're winning this thing. They're bringing in money. So I'm pretty sure all the little championships
it's going
to collect up to $60 million at some point this year. So,
all right.
You know.
I've got another question for you, actually.
Go for it.
Did you see in the papers this week? Did you read this?
About
Kurt Zouma kicking the cat?
I showed it to him.
Now, what would your view be on this?
If I was the owner, manager, coach, gone.
Gone?
Gone. I don't think.
Did you see it?
I did. Yeah. I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Don't say it.
I have to.
I get it. He's their top player or whatever the case may be. But I mean, some sort of penalty at least.
You got to make some sort of stand.
You know, you got to have
them. I don't know what you're going to say.
Listen, growing up in Italy, I remember all these stray dogs and cats that would come after you when you're walking home from the grocery store. Because nobody drove the car to the grocery store. It was a 5-minute walk down the road. So you'd walk home with your bags. And all these cats and these dogs. I'm not saying I did this. I have to clarify this. But you'd be walking home.
And you see people
doing all these strays jumping because they want the food. Let me finish my thought.
Random people walking down the street, not Zuma doing it on a video and laughing
in his house in front of a young kid. Drop kicking it everywhere.
So there's no comparison.
Listen, you guys didn't let me finish. I was just saying, I don't know where Zuma's from, but does anybody know where Zuma's originally from?
France.
He's from France.
Different story when you're talking about stray dogs trying to attack you for the food in your bag and you're trying to fend yourself off, right? It's a different story when you have a 7-pound cat and a professional footballer is kicking the cat. And they're laughing.
It's not just kicking, though. It's like
he's like punting it.
Drop kicking.
He was
just
punting it.
Punting it around.
Right?
It but either matter. Way, it's wrong. It
you're
is wrong.
You're a professional athlete. You shouldn't be doing things like that, period.
Yeah. But they didn't do anything, did they? Didn't give him a fine.
Well, nothing.
They said that maybe be in-house, which means nothing.
Right.
At least give him a fine or something just to get everyone else off his back.
Right. You know? Right. You got to do something. You got to, give him a punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing is, though, I don't know. Obviously, we know how it is in this country with all like the animal rights activists.
It's the same.
They've already been taken away.
Yeah.
It's the same in Europe as well.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know if Europe or England was that intense with it as well. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of cats, right? But I would never do that to a cat, ever. You just don't do that to any animals, period. Yeah. So I think he should get fined. They should make a big stink of it. Maybe even bench him for a game.
But they didn't even do that.
They didn't do anything.
They put him straight into the firing line.
They're not. Yeah, they're not.
Crowds going, and they're going for Champions League spots. So that's the reason.
Right.
He's worth too much money.
So.
But what's come out now is he just signed in the summer. and he's earning 125,000 a week. All the other players are on less money. Right. So they've found that out now. So that's caused
issues.
Right.
Just
right.
through this.
So he'll be gone at the end of the year too.
Maybe not. Not if they make Champions League.
No.
Or they'll give rises to him.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
All of this because he decided to be an idiot with his guy.
Mm. Right.
I don't know, man. That's a tough situation. You know that if this had happened in the U.S., he would have been banned. You would have never heard of him playing again.
Right.
You know, so. Was it? When Mike Vick, I get it, it's American football, and he did was more extreme.
Right.
But Mike Vick went to jail for it, all right?
What did he do?
He was doing dogfighting and, right. you know, euthanizing him himself and all that stuff.
Yeah, so.
But he made a turnaround. He became, you know, he had a redemption story, made a comeback and all that stuff.
But this is what I was just going to say. But, so Mike Vick, in order to come back into the league, he actually had to do public speaking events talking about how what he did was wrong, right? He had to go to classes, go to counseling to understand what he did. He had to go to jail time. He was donating his money to charities that focused on helping animals, strays, whatever. He got involved with causes that helped prevent these dogfighting rings. And when he came back in the league after doing all of that, people still hated him.
Right.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what would have happened to Zuma if he was here in the U.S.
He'd be on the first flight back to Zuma.
He's got his own song.
Well, the fans have done their own song.
Oh, okay.
But you kick it left. You go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's all playing now.
Actually, real quick, before we end this, I wanted to ask you. During a game, is there somebody in the crowd that's creating the songs on the fly out there?
There's always one person that leads it.
Like, who comes up? What do they stay up all night long coming up with these songs?
They do, yeah.
Unbelievable.
So I don't know about England, but like in Italy, we have the Ultras.
Unbelievable.
And the leaders of the Ultras will sit back and Manchester United
Fernandes just scored.
Yep, the two Portuguese seal the game. But yeah, no, like the head of the Ultras will come up with these songs or like dictate the chants when they start, when they end and stuff like that. How does it work in England?
You'll have your group, won't you?
Okay.
Whatever they're called. There'll be one person or two people.
Right.
They'll come up with the songs.
Right, right.
And they'll lead it. We should play some.
We should. Let's do it.
I'm down for it. All right. I got tons of them.
Yeah, we'll pick a few out and play them.
All right. So, that works for me.
What do we got lined up for next week? Anything good?
Hopefully the Premier League.
Premier League. Maybe we'll see if we can get some.
Champions League.
Yeah,
we'll see. We could see if we can get a special guest on.
Yeah.
That's about it for me.
That's about it for today, guys. So, once again, you were listening with Antonio, Ben, and Anthony, and we hope to see you soon.
Take care.
Thank you.